Certainly glad that you're here today. I can feel the heat running already, so the cold people evidently won out over the other people. So glad for that. But appreciate you coming and being here today and studying with us. We have several charts on the screen behind us today as we study together. As I look out today, I see Sherry, some of her grandkids here today. And I think about what she did a couple of weeks ago and what my wife has done many times before. And what a lot of you have done before. And that is to pack up kids and take them on a long journey. Sherry did it by herself. Lynn's done it by herself many times before. And probably a lot of you other mothers have done it. But I don't want to do it. I don't have any desire to take a group of kids by myself. Just the idea, I tell you what, just Wednesday night, driving 5 minutes from my house over here with Ginger about sends me over the precipice. She's loud and she gets louder and louder, and it just about drives me crazy. There's something else though that just drives me mad sometimes. I know that the same will happen with Chuck or David over here, or some of the others over the years. When I would have a car that would have a little rattle in it, and I would realize there's a rattle. Now, Lynn, she'd have the kids in the car and everything. She wouldn't hear anything. But I'd hear that rattle. And I'd get her over the years that we've been married, I'd get her to drive, and I'd ride in the seat next to me. And I'd listen. And then I'd get in the back seat. And if I could fold down the seat, Steve, and get in the trunk and see where that rattle was, I'd try to find out what that rattle was, because that would just drive me crazy. So a year and a half ago, when we bought our new van, a month into having our new van, this van just started rattling like pots and pans in the back. And I couldn't figure out, so I just got everything out of the van, drove it around, just kept on rattling like pots and pans. So I took it out to Sam Swoop where I bought it, and you have to make an appointment. Of course, an appointment. You got to wait a week or two to get it in, to get it serviced. So I had a fella get in it and ride with me. Do you hear that? Yeah, I hear that. I'll go back and find out what's wrong with it. So he comes back. He said, I don't know what's wrong with it. So we get a couple more fellas in the car with us. The manager and everybody else we're riding around. They're looking. And you hear that? It sounds like pots and pans. Yeah, it sure does. Sounds like pots and pans to me. So we're all standing there. This old mechanic, he comes walking along, and he just doesn't look like he's combed his hair for a week or two and got grease all over him. And they said, I think his name was Ralph or something. Ralph, do you have any idea what would be wrong with this van? He said, yeah, it looks like the screws on the back there where it holds the license plate are the wrong screws for it. And that was it. It was rattling just like that. So that solved my problem. Today I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject of maintenance. Maintenance. It was interesting when Jack was back there before church today. He was telling me about his car and all these different lights that come on in a car. This light might have come on in your car this morning, when it's cold weather, a low tire, low pressure light comes on many times in a lot of cars. And again, that just drives me bananas. Or it might be with Jack, maybe his battery light came on when he was driving. Or an anti-lock braking system light comes on. Or an oil light, or an overheating light, or this light here. It could be just a gas cap off and your light come on like that, engine light. Well, today I want to talk with you for a few minutes on spiritual maintenance. Spiritual maintenance. In Matthew chapter 23, and in verse 23, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of men and Annas and Cummin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others, undone." So the first point I want to make this morning is that there are warning lights with spiritual maintenance. There's warning lights that come on, just like in a car that comes on. There are warning lights for us as well as Christians. Maybe the warning light is, how often do you pray? How often do you pray? It says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says you are to pray without ceasing. What I see in the Bible many times is that there are different people in the Bible that created the habit of praying. You see David, he does this. You especially see Daniel do this when he is being threatened, even to the point of being put to death. Still, Daniel is going to continue his prayers. And he has set up some sort of schedule about his prayers and his praying. And maybe that'll help us even to the point of spontaneity many times when we need to pray more times than many times we do. He says over in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There's another warning light that we see many times. That is, do you spend time with your Bible? And I think Norman evidently is going to address this next week in the Bible class on Sunday morning. He says over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 13, then in verse 15, he says, "Till I come, give attention to reading." Give attention to reading. Why do you read? Why do you read in general? You give attention to reading because you want to make some sort of progress within your life. And that's why most people read. And when he says to give attention to reading, what we're talking about here is that you give attention to spiritual progress in your life. He not only says that, but to exhortation. And then he says to doctrine, or to teaching. And it's interesting to me that we have a lot of people involved in teaching right now. In the younger classes, people involved in teaching. On Wednesday, have a lot of people involved in teaching as well. And what they will tell you concerning teaching is that they will benefit greatly from the preparation that they've made because they've had to prepare to teach. And that's what he says here concerning this, that until I come, you give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, or to teaching. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Then, of course, another warning light is attendance. We see over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day drawing near. And of course, these people are being threatened with their life. These people are making a decision, well, whether I should come to Gardner Lane this morning or whether I should go to Walmart. Whether I should go to Gardner Lane this morning or whether I should go down to the lake. Whether I should come to Gardner Lane this morning or go here to there. In Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, these people were making a decision to come being threatened with their life. The difference. Number four, failing to serve others. He says here that pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. He says to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The idea of to visit means that I am involved in doing something on their part. And that not only is collectively, but if we can find things that we can help people with individually as well. He also says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Opportunity is determined by circumstance and ability. If the circumstance is there and the ability is there and you have the opportunity, then it might be good for you to involve yourself in doing that good work. And again, it doesn't say, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to those of the household of faith. He says, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Another warning light that I see here, and that is not willing to accept wrong or being wrong. He talks about over in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 6 and verse 7 about brethren going to court with each other and taking someone to a court of law. He says in verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, now therefore it is already an utter failure for you to go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? And why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? In fact, what he's going to tell them is, In chapter 13, a more excellent way show I unto you. And that is the way of love. And the way of love for children of God is that they work out their problems, they work out their issues together. And that's what's pleasing in the sight of God. He says in Romans chapter 14, verse 19, after there were problems concerning special days and other things that were coming up here in Romans chapter 14. In fact, we spent an entire study on this on Sunday morning some time ago talking about Romans 14. But then he says in chapter 14, verse 19, he says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which we may edify one another. And then a last warning light on this part is, do we find ourselves complaining? Do we find ourselves complaining? He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. And then he says as well, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So, that's the first point concerning spiritual maintenance. The second point concerning this is what not to do. What not to do when it comes to maintenance. Well, one thing we know that we're not to do is fail to admit that you have a problem. Fail to admit that you have a problem. David extended the invitation the other night, and he used part of this in his invitation. It says in John chapter 8, verse 31 through 33, and then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then they answered, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. We've never been in bondage to it. We don't need the truth. We don't need the truth to make us free because we've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? And he goes on to talk about that you're a slave of sin. So you need to admit that you have a problem. Also, what not to do, ignore the problem. My wife's sister, Martha, she bought a Pinto. I don't know how many people bought Pintos, but she bought a Pinto back in the 70s. I think they were made from 1971 through 1980. Well, after a while, John Casebolt, he was a member here at the time, and they were going out a little bit, and John would drive the car. I'd say, what do you think about that car, John? He said, looks like a Christmas tree. He's a mechanic. I said, what's it look like a Christmas tree for? He said, because every light in there was red. He said, there was oil light on, there was an engine light on, there was this light on and that light on. Zoe asked her, he said, you ever change the oil? And she said, well, yeah, when the engine starts clicking, I change it. But she wasn't taking care of the car. She was ignoring the problem. And, of course, if we do that with our cars, we see what happens there. But spiritually, in Matthew and in chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 through 39, when it comes to the passages of dealing with the end of time, first part's about the destruction of Jerusalem. And the second part's about the end of time. They really lumped all the questions together and they thought it was all going to happen at the same time, the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of time. But Jesus, he tried to explain to them the destruction of Jerusalem, you'll know about it, the abomination of desolation, you'll know about that. But no one knows but the Father. Not even the Son knows concerning the end of time. So he says here in chapter 24 and in verse 37 through 39, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. You can't ignore this. Because it's going to come. It's going to come one day. And of course you think you have plenty of time. And people have always been like this, to where they've thought that they have plenty of time. And I've had a lot of funerals for people that were never baptized into Christ. They would just continue to sit here until the day they died. He says in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. I'll call for you. And of course, we cannot afford to do nothing. We see here that your soul is too valuable, that hell is too awful, that heaven is too wonderful for you to miss out, and eternity is definitely too long, and the failure to influence for good is tragic, because you have that opportunity, and I have that opportunity now. So, the last point here for the lesson today. You have warning lights. You know what not to do. And you know that action is needed. Jack doesn't get that van fixed. I tell you what, he could be walking on the side of the road one day and somebody's going to have to pick him up. Because of all those lights are on, action is needed to fix what the problem is. And if warning lights are on spiritually in our life, then action is needed as well. He says, first of all, to take action, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray to God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. And Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. You grow stronger. You grow stronger in the faith. You don't act like a child all the time. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In fact, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. One more, and then we'll quit for today. Put on the full armor of God. He says here, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. What in the world does that mean? What that means is that every element Every element that Paul describes here is essential to being strong in the Lord and being strong in the power of His might. And that's how we're going to defeat Satan, who is after us. There's many other things you could think of. Use your time wisely. Have a right attitude of heart. But we'll stop for today. Spiritual maintenance. Just like maintenance with a car. We have to maintain something. We have to maintain something spiritually as well. Our soul. We have warning lights. We're told what not to do. And we're told the action that's needed in our life. And you can be a part of that this morning. The action that's needed in your life might be being baptized into Christ. Or for someone else, it might be a decision that you need to come back to the Lord at this time. Whatever your need might be, I invite you to come right now while together we stand and we sing.